B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bill. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So 3-2. The runners will be on the move here with two down. And a full count. Runners go and swung on and missed. He struck him out with the slider to end the ball game. A threat for the Red Sox. They can't cash in. Toronto takes game one here in the Red Sox home opener. 7-5. The final score here today.
All right, nice team you got there, Maz. Where do you want to begin?
Oh, no. I disown them. They're not mine. You can have them.
Where would you care to begin with your baseball team?
Okay, so again, at some point you talk about the slow start and how the team could be burying itself and all this, and people laugh at you and they say, plenty of time. So you know what? I'm just wondering, is it okay now to start looking at them and saying they get their heads up their asses? Is that all right? Like, when's it allowed?
Do you believe it's okay?
Do I believe it's okay with them right now?
Yes.
No, I don't. I think they have
No. You believe it's okay to question, do they have their heads up their ass and they're in trouble?
Yes. I felt that way a long time ago. I felt that way forever, frankly, because for most of my life, the Red Sox have had their heads up their asses. They've won their championships in recent years, but I'll tell you what, I looked this up this morning. Let's just give you the facts. Okay, just the facts. The number one offense in baseball right now, 21st in the majors in OPS, 13th in runs scored. That's average for the best offense in baseball. 17th in home runs, 19th in batting average. That's the offense, which somehow people say the offense isn't the problem. I'm telling you, the offense hasn't been good either. Okay, so let's just make that clear. The offense has not been good. The pitching has been obvious, but just so you have, again, the facts. 28th in ERA overall. 28th. 30th in starters ERA, which we knew. The relievers are 10th. It's probably a little better than that because of, like, Brian Johnson, you know, Eduardo Nunez, blah, blah, blah. But even so, 10th isn't great. It's okay, but it's not great. The staff overall, whip, 25th. Home runs allowed, 29th. Stolen bases allowed, 29th. So they're giving up homers. They're putting men on base. They're allowing runs, the steals, all of it. Tell you what, let's go to the defense. How about the defense? Is that okay? Can we talk defense?
Please.
Okay. From fewest to most. So in other words, number one is the team with the fewest errors. That's the number one defense. Red Sox in errors, 24th. How about fielding percentage? I know, outdated metric, but what the hell? Let's go with it anyway.
I'd like to hear it.
24th. Pass balls. Last. They've tied for last, allowed the most pass balls in the majors so far.
Oh, well, that's tough with Blake Swihart behind the plate. Oh, no, that's right. That was Vasquez yesterday.
Correct. That was Vasquez. And tell you what. Oh, Maz, those are outdated metrics. Okay, fine. I went to Fangraphs. Fangraphs overall, total defense, modern metric. Red Sox, 27th in baseball. And I would tell you, I've noticed at least a lot of those in the outfield, which is the, you know, triple gold glove outfield for the Red Sox. They've sucked across the board. They've sucked at everything. They've sucked in pitching. They've sucked in offense. They've sucked in base running and defending the run. They've sucked in defense. They have flat out sucked across the board. They've sucked everywhere.
I like the numbers that you pulled up related to them responding or not responding. I liked this.
You want those now?
Give me your take on that.
Okay, so here's mine. The Red Sox thus far, they have had, you know, we talk about turning the page and like, The opening day of the 2019 season was an opportunity to start anew. That's what that was. They weren't ready. They lost. Okay, fine. Tell you what. Let's go to the next series where they went to Oakland. You know, you changed it. This is one of the nice things about baseball is that every 3 days, really, you can reset. You sort of change venues. You clear your head. You start over and you say, okay, we begin anew. It's like, you know, making the turn in golf, right? You get to the 10th tee, everything's clear again. So the Red Sox get to Oakland. You know what happened? They got their asses kicked. They lost that game 7-0. 12-4 on opening day. They went to Oakland for the first game. They lost 7-0. Okay, fine. No big deal. Let's go to Arizona. We'll start there. It'll pick up in Arizona. Friday night game, 15-8.
I was going
to
say.
Eduardo Nunez had to pitch in that game. 15-8, you lose in Arizona. Yeah, but Maz, they had to start on the West Coast. It was a tough trip, 11 games to start, and it's a three-hour difference. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's bring them home. Let's bring them home. Let's give them a day off. Put them in the home ballpark. Get a good vibe going with the rings and raise the banner the whole nine yards. Let's do that, okay? Everyone on the same page? Yeah. Okay, they lost 7-5. Chris Sale sucked again. So in their four series openers, they're 0-4. They have had chances to reset now four times. 0-4, and they've been outscored by 24 runs in those games. They're minus 28 for the year. 24 of them are in the series openers. Every series, they are being given a chance to reset, and they shove their heads up there further. I mean, really, it
scary is sign.
They're not responding.
Scary early sign. They're not responding.
They are not responding. This is the alarming part, is that every day we sit there, and again, you really could say it boils down every day. But I'll tell you what, let's go series to series. Every time they have a chance to reset, they play badly. They don't show up. They just have not responded out of the gate.
Okay, Cora has stopped talking about last year, I think. I don't know. He's asked about his team after the game, and I didn't hear anything about 2018, refreshingly. Go ahead, Jim.
We have to play better. I've been saying it all along. It's just play better. Better defense, better offense, pitch better. As everybody knows, we go with the starters. You know, starters are the strongest point, and so far, you know, it hasn't been good. So we scored two. They scored two in the third inning. Then they got that three-run inning, and we score. They score again. We haven't had shutdowns inning, I think, for you know the whole 2 weeks. So that's very important. You know, we haven't had the chance to add on, which is very important to our offense or any offense at the big league level. So we just got to get better.
Okay, a little bit of Brad Stevens there, but either way, I didn't hear him say anything about we did this in 2018. We'll be fine. So maybe that's a first step. But it's gotten Alex Cora's attention. I'll tell you that much. I also like the stats about what a fast start means. I know you've been over them. Everyone has a different version of them. You know, Peter Abraham in the Globe. Since 1994, the start of the wild card era, only three of the 57 teams that started 3-9 or worse went on to make the playoffs. And none have done it in the last 12 years. The last were the 2007 Philadelphia Phillies, who went from 3-10 to winning the NL East on the final day of the season. It's been 12 years since the team started as poorly as the Red Sox have started and have made the postseason. 12 years. And there's been only three times in the 57 tries that teams have had started the 3-9 or worse. Fast starts are important. You also just go back and look at the last, I'll just click backwards, the last several World Series champions. Last year, the Red Sox started 17. Oh, so I'm just going first 20 games. I just picked. I know everyone. Some people do April. Some people do first. I went first 20. Okay, and the Sox aren't even there yet. But in the first 20 games, here's how the last several World Series champions started. Last year, the Red Sox started 17-3 over their first 20. Houston the year before 14-6. The Cubs the year before 15-5. The Royals the year before 14-6. So I can stop there. I mean, that's just a nice, strong sample. Those are the four, and they all got off to really rousing starts. If you want to go back one more, 2014, San Fran was 11-9. Not great, but a winning percentage. 2013, you went 13-7. That's a good start. The Giants, again, had a 10-10. St. Louis, the year before, 11-9. The Giants, the year before that, 12-8. The Yankees in 09, 10-10. In 08, Philly was 10-10. In 07, you were 13-7. In 06, St. Louis was 13-7. In 05, the White Sox were 16-4. In 04, the Red Sox were 14-6. The last time a team had a losing record over their first 20 and won a World Series was Florida in 2003. So, like, there's all sorts of stats like this out there. You can pick your own version. Fast starts matter historically.
They do, again, and there is this notion, there's this theory that, you know, it's early, it's April. You keep saying it's early. But there is something in baseball, again, in my experience around it, that the momentum means something in the early part of the year. Good teams come out of the gate and play well. They just do.
Okay, so overall Red Sox thoughts, 617-779-0985. Chris Sale.
I'm alarmed.
Lead thought.
I'm alarmed. I'm worried. I don't know how you can't be worried at this stage. And again, we touched a little on a little of this last night because I think by the time you had left, they had just sort of gotten into the locker room. But Sale was asked whether he's ever been lost like this on the mound, and he said not even close.
Well, let's hear from Sale. The first question is post-game last night. Sale won. Jimmy's asked, are you okay physically?
Feels fine. Just right now, trying to find it. Just grinding. Obviously, I mean, you guys are watching. I'm struggling. I don't know if I've ever pitched like this in my life. So, tough spot to be in. But, you know, I got guys in here fighting, and I got to keep fighting. I mean, there's no giving up. You know, when something's not working, you got to go to something else. When that's not working, you go to something else. And trying to find something. You know, I'm working. I know that only goes so far. This isn't, you know, a hard work league. This is a do-good league. So, got to start going out there and performing.
Said he's never struggled like this before in his life.
I think he's right. I mean, 0-3, 9.00. He's not striking people out, can't get the fastball by anybody. And this is my concern with Sale, and I told you this from the beginning. He doesn't want to pitch this way. Some guys, you know, really are into the artistry of it. Pedro was like that. Pedro had power, but Pedro could pitch finesse because he was a master out there, for crying out loud. You know, Maddox could do it. Like certain guys, I don't think this guy's that kind of guy. I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. And maybe this is just a transition and he's learning how to pitch a different way to preserve himself for the long term. I think they should take a different approach because I think at his core, in his heart, this guy's a power pitcher and wants to be a power pitcher. Listen to him talk. No excuses. This isn't the do-good league. Does that sound like a guy who's subtle?
Right.
This guy doesn't want to be subtle. This guy wants to hit it head on. And when it's 40 degrees out there, the best pitch is a fastball in on the hands. I'm sorry. So I'm not sure he wants to do it this way. I don't think he wanted to do it last year that way. And he came out at the beginning and it worked reasonably well. And then he got frustrated by it and started airing it out and his shoulder gave out. So, you know, I don't know how they fix this. I mean, I know what I would do. I told you I'd give him a break in the middle of the year, but he's not right.
Okay, folks, we're going to start off with Red Sox. We do have breaking Patriots news this afternoon, which we'll fill you in terms of guess who they're hosting at Gillette Stadium today, what positional group they're hosting today at Gillette Stadium in terms of college prospects, first-round college prospects, Murray.
Ooh, you suckers.
Guess who they're hosting. And they've signed a tight end who you've heard of. So we'll give you all this information, get your reaction as we go along today. We're going to start off with Red Sox, as I said, and maybe a play that symbolizes their start and is emblematic of their start so far and your thoughts right after these words from our amazing sponsors.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's going to be a stolen base of home. How about that?
You never see that.
Wow.
I mean, this is like shocking. Yeah, I mean, he just took off probably because of the windup. He had him timed with that windup, and he just went for it. A gutsy move.
There are two things here. You know, look where Devers is playing. Okay, he's got the left-handed hitter at the plate. Look at the location where Devers is. He's not even close. So the runner at third base can see that. He can get the extra lead, plus he's got Sale going out of the windup. I mean, it's almost like they're giving it to you. Yeah. Take it.
The problem is the windup. You can't really go on the windup. No, you just can't.
Look at Devers. Devers is standing there, not even, you know, making a step to make him go back.
And he kind of hurried up to throw it, Sale. He saw him kick off, and he just
it was just rush. It was like panic time.
Totally.
Something you almost never see in baseball. A steal of home.
It's embarrassing.
He just yanked a fastball. If he throws a strike, he's out by a lot. So, you know, the kid took a gamble, and he rushed, you know, the pitch, and he yanked it, you know, and threw the wild pitch. But, you know, if he throws the ball right in the middle, he's out by 5 feet, so...
Yeah, that was a little different. I was geared up to throw a slider, saw that he took off, tried to kind of re-grip it, and just kind of pushed it the other way. Part of it, you know, got to be prepared for that.
The steal of home, sum it up. Maz, Jerry Remy called it embarrassing. Would you agree?
He's right, absolutely. It's a humiliating play. I'd go so far as to say it's emasculating. Like, you know, really, all the way across, you're sitting there going, really? I mean, that reaches a point where you're getting shown up. You're getting shown up. You're getting embarrassed. They're humiliating you now. You got a third baseman's playing off the bag, which, again, I don't really blame Devers. So the base runner makes a good play there. If you're going to let me go. But how many guys really ever go on that? Never happens. But once the play starts, you also can't totally dismiss it. If a pitcher is aware of it, someone sees it, someone yells something, you step off, you make the guy go back. And then the play, like, you know, now Cora says he's convinced.
Out by 5 feet.
See, I'm not convinced of that. I think that that's a nice way to cover your ass and say that we threw it in the dirt, you know, because being embarrassed and getting caught with your pants down is worse than a guy making a good play and beating the ball to the plate, right? The fact is, you know, the catcher is what, 5-6 feet behind the plate? He's got to catch it, lunge forward. It's a tough play for a catcher, you know, to do it all in one fell swoop. It's a tricky little play. You can't. Because what if the batter swings? Or you don't know, right? Like, they got caught with their pants down. Emasculating. It is. It's humiliating. And to me, the signature play of the first 12 games.
Okay. To your phones, as promised, your thoughts on the Red Sox so far. Let's grab Chris in Marshfield. Lead us off, Chris. What do you got today with Felger and Mass?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I just want to say the World Series 2018 is over. I think this early start is, you know, you can't have this bad of a start. I think we got to start looking elsewhere. I think we got to look outside of maybe bring back David Ortiz or maybe look in the booth and get A-Rod back.
Okay, we just not waste our time with this. The thing is, so now they have their attention, meaning the team is, you know, they realize, uh-oh, is it too late to put the genie back in the bottle? In other words, they didn't really prepare for the year properly. Now they realize, oh, now we're in deep trouble, and we've got to turn around starting now, but there's no base, if you will. There's no work been put in. To get to that point, you sort of wonder, can you just flip the switch to use an analogy we use with other teams here, especially when your pitching staff doesn't have their arm strength built up yet because they haven't put in the work?
So it's a good question. I don't know. I'm worried about it. I am. I'm worried about it. And I'll tell you what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that now that the banner's up and they have their rings, they have an off day, that everything is now out of their heads. Everything's out. And now they can actually show up and focus on winning a game. That's what I'm hoping, but I don't know.
Noah in Worcester on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Noah.
Hi, guys. I was just calling in to see. I know Sandy Leone's been in the minors for the start of the year, but do you think bringing him up would help Sale out? I know he caught for him a lot last year, so I think, I don't know, maybe Vasquez and Sale aren't just on the right page right now.
Okay, was Leone Sale's guy? I thought Leone was Price's guy.
No, Leone was with Sale a lot, too.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think I'll check the numbers. So, but even so, I don't think that's it. I don't. I mean, with Sale, there'd be more of an argument if my recollection is right. But to me, with Sale, just watch him. Is he throwing the ball? Is the stuff the same?
So the velocity is something we talk about a ton, and that's obvious. He didn't have location yesterday.
He hasn't had location, really, I would say, in all three, even the game he won in Oakland. I mean, it was better that game, but it still wasn't there. Not like he usually is. So I think his off-speed pitches have been garbage.
So, and that's all he's been throwing, like, essentially. The play before the steal of home was a cross-up. So I don't know if that's on Sale or on Vasquez, but if it's about the catcher, Vasquez is a defensive catcher. We can complain about that's what's up. You're going to blame Swihart for that one?
So this is, like, again, one of those things, like, so he can only function with one catcher in the whole major leagues. Is that the deal?
Kind of silly.
So, and honestly, and this is where I give Sale credit, I don't think Sale would make an excuse for that. He's a veteran guy. He's pitched to a lot of different catchers. His career numbers are pretty good.
So Jimmy just tells me 18 starts to Leone last year, 9 to Vasquez.
Okay.
So he did throw more to Leone. I don't know. If there's a different catcher behind the plate, is he throwing 98 again? I mean, what does that have to do with the catcher? I don't think that's it. I'm with Maz. I don't think that's it. Richard in Pawtucket, your thoughts on the Red Sox?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Couple things. One, Jackie Bradley pulling his head out again. He just looks like he's got no fire. And Devers at third looks like he's bird watching. He doesn't look like he's into the game at all. I don't know. I think we're in trouble this year. What do you think?
Okay, I think you're in trouble. I think you're in trouble. Historically, when you look at teams that start like this, you generally don't. It generally doesn't end well for teams that start like this.
I mean, you can bury yourself.
I mean, like, by a resounding margin, when you look at it, again, only 3 of 57 teams in the wild card era have started 3-9 or worse and made the postseason. So what percent is that again?
It's a little over 5%. Just a hair over 5%.
Okay, so by historical metrics, you're in trouble. That's sort of a factual thing based on the standings. You know, Jackie Bradley, what happened to the new swing there?
Yeah, no, I wonder. I mean, he was the story of spring training, right? I mean, really, they revamped the swing. He was going to be a stud all offensive player now, and he's right back to being what he was. Like, the fact that people still buy into this spring training bullcrap blows me away. So Jackie Bradley's who he's has always been, and in a large degree, or to a large degree, a lot of these guys have regressed to what they were before last year, which is good players, not great ones.
Pebble in Boston. Go ahead, Pebble.
Oh, hi. My question, you've kind of touched on it a little bit, specifically related to how teams who have a rough start don't go all the way through to the end, but specifically to the Red Sox, what percentage of the Red Sox history where they have a successful postseason after they've had a lost home opener and a rocky start?
Okay, well, it's not just the lost home opener, Pebble. They're 3-9. I mean, if you lose the home opener, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 3-9 on the way to, you know, whatever your record in the first 20 or in the month of April is going to be. And in that regard, you know, their history is pretty. Look, when they've made the Final Four, let's just do this. In the last 20-plus years, when they've made the Final Four, gone to the LCS, here have been their records. Last year, 17-3. Again, over the first 20. They were 17-3 in 2018. In 2008, 2013, the year they won the World Series, they were 13-7 in their first 20. In 2008, when they made Game 7 of the ALCS, this is another quote-unquote hangover year. 2008 was the year after the 07 championship. 2008, they started 13-7.
Yeah, they were good that year.
13-7, strong start, strong finish, got to Game 7 of the ALCS. In 2007, when they won it all, 13-7. In 2004, when they won it all, 14-6. 2003, when they got to Game 7 of the ALCS, 14-6. So you want to talk about when the Red Sox have made the LCS or gone on to the World Series, they've gotten off to strong starts every single year.
Yeah, people want to minimize this. Like, and you can't. Again, I told you the other day, because I think there's something to it. Fast starts, strong finishes. And strong finish can be debatable as to what that is.
Because if you're Because
if you're up 10 games, what's the point?
I've seen teams do that a lot.
Okay, so absolutely. But, you know, I'm saying all things being equal, you're in a race on both ends. You want to get out in front of everybody at the start, and you want to stay in front of them at the end. Okay? It's really that simple in a lot of ways. And the fast start thing, people minimize this, but I told you, I looked it up yesterday. The last 10 World Series winners before May 1st all played 545 or better. Every one of them. And I stopped at 10. You want me to go to 20? I bet you the numbers will be more damning.
Okay, well, I told you, the last team, over their first 20. Now, I did different places to draw the line. But the last team to win the World Series with a losing record in their first 20 games was the Florida Marlins in 2003, according to my research. So you've got to go back 16 years for a team to be under 500 over their first 20 and win a World Series. Okay, so those are just sort of the numbers. We'll see if the Red Sox can. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, the Red Sox can buck that trend, but that's the trend. Those are the realities in baseball. We continue with your thoughts on the Red Sox. We're going to give you some Bruins talk later on in the 3 o'clock hour. We got Magic Johnson. We got to get to that. We're going to get to a lot of stuff today. But there has been breaking news today with the Patriots. There's been a signing, and there's been some visits at Gillette. Jim Murray, reluctantly, even though it upsets him, we'll give you the details right here in the update.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris, what will get this team out of the funk?
Well, like I said, man, this wasn't a team being in a funk today. Like I said, we scored 5 runs. We had half a dozen bullpen guys throw. Today was on me. You know, today was supposed to be, we were supposed to win today's game. You know, we scored 5 runs in a day that I start. We got to win that one. So I wouldn't exactly say today was a team funk day. Today was just me not being who I needed to be.
All right, More reaction there. How do you get out of the funk for Chris Sale? Is there a way? Are you worried that there's not a way for him to get out of the funk? That this is a physical thing?
Oh, no, no. There's a way for him to get out of the funk. It's to start whipping it. That's the way to get out of the funk.
Do you think he's physically able?
Maybe not quite yet, but I think he's getting there. I mean, you know, I'm just worried again that it's the whole thing's taken longer than it should. And with him, I worry about ultimately how high he can get now. Because I, you know, again, there's a there's so many variables with him now. Durability, how much his arm can handle, all of that. But when he dips into the 80s like he did in Oakland, to me, that lowers the ceiling. Like, I see that and go, well, maybe he's not hitting 97, 98 anymore. Maybe it's now 95, 96.
Okay, but don't tell me he's damaged goods.
No, I don't think he's cooked.
Don't tell me this. Don't tell me they didn't do their due diligence medically. Or they rushed into something because is this just one big giant chasing your tail? You win in 13. You think you have all the answers because you didn't spend big on long-term contracts for 2013. So now you have all the answers. You're not going to overspend on players in their 30s. You whiff on John Lester. He's gone. You have egg on your face. So now you overspend on Sale or jump the gun on Sale because you don't want to make the mistake on Lester, which was a result of, you see what I'm saying?
It's like
this giant sort of, just giant chasing your tail. And don't tell me this happened, that they just rushed into this because they had egg on their face from the last time, and they had egg on their face the last time because of what they did the time before that with overpaying on contract, like on and on. Like, don't tell me this is going.
Yeah, so look, I have a hard time believing that they recklessly spent on Chris Sale. I have a hard time believing that. But I don't think it's out of the question that after last October, he's not throwing 98 anymore. He's throwing 95. I don't think that's out of the question. And so it can happen like that where all of a sudden, you know, Pedro, and again, I use him as the comp because of the build. Okay, he was shorter. But Pedro had about a 3 or 4 year period there where he aired it out and was dominant. And then pretty much in his early 30s, he was a different guy. He got hurt and he was a different guy. Now, his injury, to the best of our knowledge, was a little more severe than Sale's, but it didn't need surgery. So, I don't know. Let's see. Let's see where the ceiling is. I fear the ceiling has come down.
Ben in New Hampshire. Back to your phones. What do you got, Ben?
Hi there. So, you remember when this whole happened, too, with the Patriots, and they had, I don't know, it's a little different, with them getting their trophy and everything, and they got smoked by the Chiefs?
Yes.
Very apples to oranges, but still the same thing. It's going to be okay. I have faith in that. I love Chris Sale. At least has, like, the balls to come out and say, you know what, this is me. And he puts it on his shoulders. And I like that because we don't have a lot of people in like Boston, especially with the Red Sox, that like actually like, take blame for stuff. And I like that. And that says something. And I know it can go as far as it can go, but it will be. It'll be good.
Okay. I hope you're right. You know,
Patriots don't apply.
Yeah. And it really doesn't apply because the Patriots have a 20-year track record, or let's just call it, in the second iteration of this dynasty, so let's just call it a decade-long track record of giving away a couple games early and being fine at the end. I mean, they do that habitually. So you, when they have those hiccups, you say, okay, we've got 10 years to build on here. Do the Red Sox have that? It's actually just the opposite. We just gave you the numbers. When they start well, they do well. When they don't, look out.
Yeah, they don't have the track record. I mean, and they don't have Brady and Belichick, who are the driving forces behind it. Two guys with a burning, relentless desire to win that lead the whole operation and set the tone. They don't have that.
The other thing, too, is even if you feel extremely confident like that caller did, the Rays are going to be a problem. I think they've already, you know, pretty much established that this early in the season. If we're going to say this about the Red Sox this early, you can say the same thing about the Rays. And I thought they were going to be a bit of a pain in the ass. They won 90 games last year, but this, like, I don't know. Like, they look legit.
Well, you tell me about the Rays, Maz.
So Tampa, to me, is one of those teams that's always going to be a pain in the ass.
Because they can pitch.
Yep, absolutely.
They always figure it out on the mound, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. They're never going to be an overpowering offense, ever. But if they're mediocre offensively because of their pitching, they're going to be you know, annoying. And they might beat you if you let them. Like, and the other thing is, if you really weigh it out and look at all the young aces in the division, they have the best one. I mean, they do. They have the reigning Cy Young Award winner. So if you're talking about an ace with a high level of durability who has years in front of him, and he's the guy. I mean, that's a factor.
Okay. Alan in Florida, are you legitimately concerned with the Red Sox that you might have a lost season here?
I'm concerned about the Red Sox. First of all, by the way, you know, the way to talk about Tampa Bay is exactly what you just said. They are a pain in the ass. They have one superior pitcher. They have maybe the best manager in all of baseball. And other than that, they got nine players that can play every position. And you know what? They're a number two wild card. That's where I put them. They're the number two wild card. That's where I'm going to put them. Anyway, that's my opinion. You know, this is getting this is ridiculous. The reason, the only reason I can say, and I don't know if Maz will agree with me, the American League, again, is just so pathetic. I mean, to lose a home opener to this Toronto might be worse than Baltimore.
Oh, they're brutal. I mean, they have nobody. It's unbelievable.
And when you play this team 19 games in Baltimore, Kansas City and Detroit and the White Sox, you can't help yourself. I don't know if this is going to be an answer. I don't know if they can compete with the Yankees. Right now, I don't think they can compete with a healthy Yankees and a Houston team. But, I mean, it's such garbage. It's really, it's a disgrace. It's ruining the, you know, the National League all of a sudden got very competitive in almost every division other than the Dodgers. But, yeah, I'm worried. And I'm worried about what's, if anyone listened to Sale carefully, you know, big deal, it's on me. He's great because it's on me. What he said is, I think he's confused. You know what? I think there's a lot of doctors holding their breath right now because they're going to look like real idiots if something is cooking there, because I'm sure he was examined by five doctors, number one, before they signed the contract.
Alan, just let me stop you there. You want to weigh in quickly on anything you had there?
Yeah, look, I just think that, you know, I look at the Sale part of it in particular, and I say he said the term that was used, I don't remember if a reporter put it in his mouth or not, was he's lost. And I think that's right. He's lost. Look at him. I mean, he's not throwing hard, not consistently. The off-speed stuff's all over the place. There's no consistency to it. The location's horrible. It's up in the strike zone. He's got nothing.
Okay, he wants Jimmy Sale 3. How do you fix it, Chris?
I mean, if I knew what it was, I'd fix it. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm spinning my tires. I'm looking at this, looking at that. See if I'm tipping pitches. See if my mechanics. If it's this. If it's angles. It's, you know, I'm still searching, but you know, I'll find it. I know who I am. I know what I can do. I've been there before, and I keep grinding.
Okay, he also said at some point, I thought it was in that cut, that you know, I should be able to fall out of bed on Christmas and throw strikes. Well, what was your take on that comment?
Yeah, so that's when I say Sale's accountable. Like, this is one of those...
He's not using any excuses. Slow start,
right.
You know, no ramp up in spring training, blah, blah, blah. He says, I should be able to... Any day of the week, wake up and throw strikes.
Absolutely. That's one of those things where people say, well, he had a short spring, all the things you just rattled off. And it's all bull crap. This guy's been in the big leagues for a long time. He's highly gifted. I'm not telling you he can come out and throw 150 pitches on Christmas Eve, okay? Because he can't. But he can get up on the mound and hit the corners. And he can have good movement on his stuff because he's gifted. He's unique. Okay, he's a talented guy. So this idea that they have to refine and, like, I just think that all gets overstated. Pitchers, in theory, the only reason they need 6 weeks in spring training is to build the arm strength. And, you know, and that means depth of games, because a lot of getting deep into a game, because during the early part of the season, the one concern is can they go 7 innings, 8 innings? And they usually can't. But a lot of guys come out of the gate throwing 95. I mean, they do it constantly. It's like to me, the Red Sox went into this thing ass backwards. They took it way too far.
Took it too far, too far. And if you save your bullets to get to October and you don't get to October, you look like a schmuck.
Boy, you really do. And this guy, again, I can't say this enough. He's a power pitcher. He wants to be a power pitcher. As Alan just said in Florida, the caller, the tough guy, that's what he thinks he is. When he's on the mound, he's a badass. He regards himself as a badass. Is Rich Hill a badass throwing 88 miles an hour? Because that's what Sale is right now.
More on Sale and the Red Sox start in our long commercial-free segment next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha, hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pitch number 74.
Boy, he threw that ball hard. 95, probably the hottest fastball of the day. One of maybe two that were at 95.
That's an upset fastball is what that is.
32 pitches in the inning. Not out of it yet, 3-2.
This isn't the same Chris Sale. It just isn't. We very seldom see him pitch like this.
That's a puzzle.
Velocity or not, I mean, not the same guy.
He wasn't able to put hitters away. velocity was, what, 91, 92, showed some flashes of 94, 95 at the end. But as far as the off-speed slider, literally inconsistent. You know, he made some good ones down and in to righties, and then he left it in the zone. The changeup wasn't great. They did a good job for a team that has been striking out a lot. They did a good job with two strikes, putting the ball in play. That little hit-and-run play they put on with men at first and second. Golfing's go the other way, so he didn't have too many swings and misses, and we paid the price.
All right, Alex Cora not really holding back on Chris Sale either there. And it's got to be a scary one. Just don't tell me that he's damaged goods, and they somehow entered into this with a guy who's damaged goods. Like, I understand the Red Sox make mistakes, and sometimes they get reactionary and all of this, but don't tell me they did that. They signed a guy to a 5-year, $145 million deal, and he's cooked? I refuse to believe they're that bad.
I mean, I have a hard time believing that, too. I can't imagine that that's the case. But I'll tell you what, someone put it in these terms the other night, so let me throw it to you in these terms. Have we seen the best of Chris Sale?
Oh, in his career?
Yeah.
Probably.
It's entirely possible.
Is he 31, 30?
He's 30-ish. And Pedro's best years ended at about 28, 29. I mean, so again, I use that just as an obvious, easy comp, and it's not apples to apples. Randy Johnson, if you want to compare him to Sale, pitched into his mid to late 30s, right? He was still dominant. So who the hell knows? But I don't think it's terribly unusual to think that, or terribly wrong to say maybe we've seen his best already.
So he was a power pitcher. Give me a power pitcher. Clemens was amazing into his 30s, but you know, he had a lot of help there.
Yeah, and he's also, you know, 6'5", 245 pounds.
He's a rhinoceros on steroids.
Verlander's one. But another one who's a moose.
Yep.
I mean, I keep giving you the old, you know, it sounds like a wisecrack. Look at the ass on those guys. They're huge. Lester, take a good look at Lester. His ass is gigantic. Like these guys, their lower halves are enormous. This guy's pitching on popsicle sticks.
Back to your phones. Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Well, you know, I guess the honeymoon is over.
Wayne, take us off speaker.
Yeah. He's Cora is, you know, focused on how much he makes decisions based on details and the basics. Well, guess what? Start looking at your damn details and make some moves now to change this mess. I think he's suffering from what his players are.
What?
Just last year's carryover.
Wayne, what changes would you make?
I would get these pitchers aside and tell them, we're throwing the ball to win ball games. We're not cutting bullets now to save them for the end of the year.
Okay, does it work like that, Maz? When you haven't built up and you haven't gone through the starts and the, you know, the regimen, can you just wake up 6 games under 500 on April 12th and say, all right, it's time to start whipping it?
No. No, I mean, again, there's sort of a process there. You kind of, you know, ease your way into it. Again, this is the only reason spring training is 6 weeks long. The positional players need like 2 weeks, maybe three. I always used to say a week of workouts, 2 weeks of games, done. Let's go. Let's get out of here. I'm done. Like, but the pitchers need the time, just the starters, really, because they can only go every 5 days, or they want to go every 5 days, and it takes a while. Fine. But again, that typically means 4 or 5 starts in spring training. So like someone said to me, and I didn't look up the actual number, but Max Scherzer, I think, threw something like 25 innings in spring training in real games. I mean, that's 4 starts. That's 4 big league starts. So what did these guys throw? 10? Less than half that? And all of a sudden you come out in spring training or in the regular season and you think you're going to be in peak form and you completely dismiss the competition and the process and say, no, because you think you're so good that we'll be okay. We'll go 500 for the first 2 or 3 weeks. Then you start out 3-9 and now you look like a donkey. So they overplayed their hand. As usual, the Red Sox overplayed their hand.
All right, Lee, up into the top of the hour here, folks. I just want to take a quick break from what we're doing here. To offer some words to someone who's really important to us here at the station and personal and important to me and Maz and all of us personally on a friend level, and that is our assistant program director. His name is Rick Radzik. You may have heard us talk about him, maybe not. He's sort of a behind-the-scenes guy as far as you're concerned, but an exceptionally important person to us here at the station, to me personally, very important to this station in terms of what's made it such a great place to work, and it really is such a really tremendous place to work, starting from when we were CBS Radio in the other building, and Rick was there from day one. Rick Radzik is a huge Bruins guy for your people out there. His nickname is Schmatz, if that means anything to you. Really one of the great people I have met and know in this business, TV, radio, whatever. Schmatzy lost his wife yesterday, Liesel, after a battle with cancer, and our heart aches for Rick Radzik and his family and his daughters, Allison and Alexa. I knew I wouldn't be able to get through it. And I just want to offer him our condolences as a station and as a show for his loss, and just let him know what he means to us and let him know that we're thinking about him and what his wife meant to him and his daughters. And it's just it's a heartbreaking thing. And I just wanted to mention it on the air.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is one of those stories where you never wish ill on anybody, particularly the good people. And, you know, anybody that works here knows, I mean, I don't know if people understand the hierarchy. As the assistant program director, he's our bench coach. Okay, he's our bench coach. So I think we all feel like we can talk to Rick. And I think we've all felt like we've always been able to talk to Rick. And the only thing I would tell him and his family now, and particularly him, is that if it's our turn to listen, I think we're all happy to do that. So, you know, our thoughts go out to him. It's a tragedy that none of us wants to live through ever. And, you know, we're here for you if you need you, Rick. And our thoughts go out to all of you.
Okay, so he lost his wife yesterday. I couldn't do it yesterday. I can't do it now because you know me with this stuff. But our deepest condolences and thoughts to Rick Radzik and his daughter, Allison, our daughters, Allison and Alexa, on your loss. It is our heartbreaks, not nearly like yours, I know, but we're thinking of you. So sorry to do that there. Top of the hour. Here comes Murray's update. We're back with more right after this.